be back and preach at the church. I've been looking forward to it, and I always enjoy getting to be here, and it's good to see some familiar faces. Amen. And praise God for people that are faithful, and I always enjoy getting to be around Pastor Lance and his family, and they really did it. Pulled off a really good youth meeting last night. I know there was a lot of work involved in that, and Brother Stephen and everybody else did a really good job doing that. Amen. Well, I'm going to jump right on into my lesson this morning. If you would, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and look in verse number 3. I want to talk about your mind this morning. And your mind is so important to every decision that you make, every spiritual decision, every fleshly decision, everything we do it based upon what we allow in our mind. And so I'm going to read a few verses to you this morning. I think it'll be a help to you. Verse number 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought and the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." I want to teach on this thought, gateways into the mind. Gateways into the mind. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this lesson this morning. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we think about these things. In Jesus' name, amen. I remember hearing a story, and I don't know if it is historically accurate or not, but some people believe it is. Other people believe it's just a legend. But it happened around the time of the height of the Persian army. And they had conquered up until this point, and they reached a city that was so strong and had such great defenses that they could not get inside the city to defeat their armies. Everybody was locked in. They wouldn't let anybody out, wouldn't let anybody in. And they tried bombarding it. They tried heaving things over the wall. They tried busting down the gates, but they just could not get inside. And so what they did is they came up with a strategy that they were going to fake a retreat. And so they get everybody back in their ships and they act like they're going to leave. Well, before they left, they decided that they were going to leave a gift behind, like a peace offering, you might say. And so they built an enormous horse, better known as the Trojan horse. And they faked the retreat. Everybody comes outside and sees this enormous horse. They said that it was so big that they probably would have had to dismantle an entire ship to build this horse out of. And so they get out there and they see this horse. And of course, back in those days, a horse was a symbol of strength, and it was a military might type of a symbol. And so they see this enormous horse. They think, man, we've won the victory. Everybody comes out and starts cheering. Man, this is awesome. We defeated them. They left. And so, with nobody inside, all the army's gone, they said, well, let's bring this thing inside and let's celebrate. So they roll this enormous horse back into their city, and everybody begins to party, everybody begins to celebrate, and then they go to sleep. Well, what they don't realize is that inside of that enormous horse, there was about 10 or 15 of that army's best assassins that had been hid inside the belly of that horse. And in the middle of the night, while everybody was asleep, they open up a door, and those men climb out of that horse. Meanwhile, the ships are sailing back with the rest of the army. These men come out of that horse in the middle of the night and they open up all the gates to the city. And when all the gates are open, those armies flood in and they kill everybody in the city and they take it over. Now, you know what, friend? In the Christian life, many people think that they are safe because they have high morals. And they think that they are safe because they have principles. And they think they are safe because they have convictions and standards. And all of that is important. And everybody should have convictions. Everybody should have standards. And everybody should know where they stand and what they believe in. But can I say, friend, that as strong as you think your defenses are, if you open up some gates, you can let a lot of wickedness into your life that will destroy you and that will destroy your marriage and your home and everything. I'm talking about gateways into your mind. I'm talking about your ears. I'm talking about your eyes. I'm talking about things that you allow in your life can wreak havoc in there. We got to be careful. We got to guard the gates, brother. Listen, what about Lot? The Bible says Lot was a righteous man. Now, what we know about Lot is the Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah. Whenever I think of Lot, I don't think of him being just. I don't think of Lot being righteous. And if the Bible didn't say that Lot was saved, brother, I'd preach Lot in hell this morning just as sure as my name is Randy Taylor, because he didn't have a testimony to live up to it. But Lot was just fine as long as he was under the protection of a godly family member named Abraham. He was fine when he was with Abraham. But what did he do? Even though he had a good surrounding, even though he had good influences around him, what did he do? He lit something in his eye gate. What was it? He began to look towards Sodom. He began to look towards Sodom. Where'd he end up? He ended up there. Why? Because even though he thought his defenses were high, even though he thought he could handle what was down there, he opened up the gates. Brother, you got to be very careful. What is the mind? Let me tell you what the mind is. The mind is the battleground for your spiritual life, for your moral life. The mind is the battleground. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 27, that we are not to give place to the devil. Okay? You know what that means, to give place? Brother, when you're in a battle, a spiritual battle, brother, whenever you're on a battlefield, what you are trying to do is you are trying to gain ground, are you not? You are trying to conquer the next hill. You're trying to conquer the next city. You're trying to obtain the next objective, the next place where you can get an advantage. The Bible says that when we give place to the devil, you know what we are allowing him in our life, whether it be in our mind or some secret area of our life, we are allowing the devil a place where he can set up, a place where he can dig some trenches. You say, "Brother Randy, it's just this one little area of my life." But what you have done is you have allowed a place where he can build a fort, a place where he can build a stronghold in your life. Take Israel, for example. Israel, a few years back, they gave up their West Bank. They gave up the Gaza Strip. And everybody thought, well, we'll do this in the pursuit of peace. Listen, friend, the way to pursue peace is not giving up ground to the enemy. Right. It's foolish. Why? Because Hezbollah has always been trying to fire rockets into Israel. Well, if we give them West Bank, they'll stop firing rockets at us. So what do? They give up the West Bank. What does that allow Hezbollah to do? That allows Hezbollah to get ever closer to Jerusalem. So now they have the West Bank. Now they can fire those Kassam rockets, and now they can almost hit Jerusalem. Why? Because they gave place to the enemy. Friend, that is what we do in the Christian life. Brother, we think we are strong because we have all of these defenses up. We go to a good church. We hear good Baptist preaching. All that kind of stuff. And we think we are strong, and yet we allow a place in our life where the devil can have some influence. I'm talking about the wrong friends. I'm talking about the wrong music. I'm talking about the wrong kind of things that we watch and read. I'm talking about things like bitterness. All these little secret areas of our life we allow in there. And guess what? That is a great place for the devil to dig some trenches, saying, hey, I'm going to stick around for a while, and this is where I work from. You know, any part of your life you're willing to yield to the Holy Spirit, He can use it. Amen. You yield Him your eyes, your ears. Brother, listen, He can give you a sweet countenance. He can give you a yielded spirit, a good attitude. But just as much as that is true, anything you're willing to yield to the devil, He can use that as well. You yield Him your eyes, your ears, your thoughts, your mind. He can give you a hard heart. He can give you your rebellious spirit. So the mind is the battleground, friend. It is the battleground. Look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Let's turn over a few pages. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "In whom you forgive anything, for I forgive also. If I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." You know what? The devil's always looking for an advantage. He's always looking for an advantage. And we got to be careful that we don't allow it. Amen? Brother, he's looking for an advantage in your kids. He's looking for an advantage in your marriage, in your home. Brother, you got to be careful that we don't give them the advantage. You say, "Brother Randy, it's just this one thing. It's just this one area. It's not that bad. I can control it. I can handle it. I can take it. I'm a big boy. I can handle this little area of my life that's sinful." Friend, listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care how strong you are. Even the littlest sin is too much for you to handle. That's right. How many of you would be happy tonight with me giving you just a little bit of cancer? Just a little bit. Just a little teeny bit of cancer. Would you be all right with that? What about AIDS? Let's say I had a syringe with just a little bit of AIDS. Anybody all right with having just a little bit of AIDS? I don't want to have just a little bit of AIDS. I don't want to have just a little bit of cancer. Why? Because these things grow. They get worse. And friends, sin, even though it is small, it is cancer. It is a deadly growing disease that gets stronger and stronger and stronger in a person's life. I get cracked up at people who say, well, you know, I can quit smoking anytime I want to. Try it sometime. Try it. I can get drink. I can stop drinking anytime I want. Well, try it then. Amen? Brother, you may find out sin has a stronger hold on you than what you realize. And you get to a place in your life where if you don't conquer that habit, if you don't conquer that stronghold, then it begins to conquer you. Amen? Brother, your habits can be your best friend or your worst enemy. Amen? Can be your best servant or your worst master. Let me say, second of all, this morning, not only is it the battlegrounds, but friend, you have got to guard the gates. Guard the gates. Look what the Bible says in Judges. This is a great verse, brother, right here. Turn over to the book of Judges, chapter number 5. Judges chapter 5 and verse number 8. Look what this verse says. It says, they chose new gods. Look at this. Then war was in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? The Bible says, then was war inside the gates. Now, brother, when war's inside the gates, you're in trouble. Amen? Brother, it's one thing to fight a battle somewhere else, but when it's inside the gates, we're in trouble. Now, I know everybody talks bad about our soldiers that have fought the war on terror, but brother, listen, I would much rather them be shooting bombs over there where the terrorists live than to have terrorists shooting bombs right here where we live. Because when war gets inside the gates, you're in trouble.
That's right.
But listen, on a spiritual note, brother, listen, there's a lot of wickedness in this world, but once that wickedness gets in here, then you got trouble. Once that wickedness gets in your home, you got trouble. When war is in the gates, you've got trouble. Brother, you better guard those gates. Brother, listen, that battle that from this world, our flesh, the devil, it is for our hearts and mind. What are some of the gates? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 51 talks about the eye gate. What does it say? It says, mine eye affecteth my heart. You know what that means? That means what you see affects what you think about, affects what you feel. Amen. My eye affects my heart. Brother, listen, you probably every decision that we make, it starts with an idea. It starts with a thought.
That's right.
Every sin started with a thought, with an idea. Friend, there has never been an extramarital affair. There has never been a kidnapping. There has never been a murder that did not start with a thought, an idea. Why? Because thoughts produce actions. And actions produce habits. And habits, if not resisted, soon take the form of necessity. Amen. And brother, listen, people become controlled by habits. Where did it all start? Started right here.
That's right.
Started right here, what they thought about, what they allowed in that eye gate. Not only the eye gate, but look what the Bible says. There's also an ear gate. Amen. What you listen to. And brother, we preach hard to these young people about listening to the right kind of music. But listen, it's just as wrong for an adult to listen to the wrong kind of music.
That's right.
Amen. You say, what's wrong with music? I'll tell you what. It affects your heart. It affects your mind. You listen to rock music, country music, whatever it is, it shows up on you spiritually.
That's right.
And the reason why people have no spiritual fire, the reason why they have no spiritual unction in them, is because the world has taken that away. And it usually starts with the music. And brother, you can almost always pick out the people in a church, especially a teenager in a church, that is listening to the wrong kind of music. You say, how do you know? It's not scientific, friend. You can see it on your spirit. You can see it on a person's spirit. Because what does music teach? It teaches disobedience towards authority. All it talks about is perverted things. You say, it's just country music. Tell me anything about country music. Well, it says, God bless whatever. Yeah, God bless whiskey. Amen. God bless this woman I'm having an affair with. Friend, there ain't nothing good about that kind of music.
Right.
You can't tell me that helps you spiritually.
Amen.
That kind of music. Amen. You say that makes me mad. I'm sorry, friend. It is not right for us to be listening to that kind of stuff. And it shows up on our spirit. Guard the ear gates. Amen. Look at the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 7. This is back to Lot again. I got to hurry along. But the Bible said, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them. Look at these next two words right here. That righteous man dwelling among them in what? Seeing and what? Hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Bible says that he got vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And what drew Lot in was what he saw and what he heard.
That's right.
You know what the word vex means? It means to labor down, to toil down, to wear down. That's what vex is. And you know what happens whenever we are looking at wrong things and listening to wrong things? It starts to wear us down spiritually. It starts to put our guard down. And that's what happened a lot, brother. He saw all that wickedness, all that stuff out there. And brother, it just kept on influencing him and influencing him. Brother, you better be careful. Else you end up like somebody like Lot in Sodom. You ever hear somebody say that your mind is a harbor? You ever hear somebody put it that way? Don't harbor bitterness. Don't harbor anger or don't harbor hatred. You ever heard it put that way before? Your mind is a harbor. Just like how a ship comes in from the ocean and finds a harbor to dock at, that is what your mind is, okay? Now, there was a time in our history where there was a terrible plague that was surrounding the globe. It was called the Black Death. It was called the bubonic plague. They don't know where it started. They think it possibly could have started somewhere in China. And it spread. And it spread all over the globe. And listen, friend, like 2/3 of the world's population died of the plague. Now, that's pretty unbelievable, isn't it? That is a lot of people. But what they said is it got so bad that they actually started using... This was really the first time you see biological warfare. Whenever they couldn't get into a place that they were trying to conquer, they would take these infected bodies and they'd heave them over the walls of the city and give everybody plague. And what would happen is many times these ships would come in the harbor. Well, man, if you were a city that was trying to stay away from the plague, brother, you had to know what was on that ship. And so if there was a ship coming in that had plague on it, you know what they would do? Listen, they would refuse them the right to come into their harbor. Are you with me? Friend, we cannot stop what is going on out in the world. And we cannot stop the wickedness that is out there all the time. All the junk, all the filth that is out there. It's always going to be out there. But I tell you what you can do. You can choose what you allow in your harbor. Just because there's pornography doesn't mean it has to be in your harbor. Just because there's wicked music doesn't mean it has to be in your harbor. Amen. That's what your mind is. You got to be careful. Guard the gates. Be careful what you allow in there. And last of all, let me give you this thought. Last thing about your mind is sometimes you just have to close the doors. Close the doors. Say, what are you talking about? Friend, every sin that has ever entered into a person's life has entered in through an open door. Let me say that again. Every sin that has ever entered into a person's life has entered through an open door. You have allowed it in.
That's right.
Amen. You have allowed it in, whether it be through a thought, whether it be through a deed, whether it be through something you saw, something you heard, you allowed it in. James chapter 1, verse 14. It talks about lust. When it hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Where does that come from? The Bible says every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen? Brother, we let things in. We got to be careful. I preached a sermon one time entitled, When an Abortion is a Good Thing. And brother, I said that and everybody's eyes got about that big. I'm not talking about killing babies, amen. That's not the kind of abortion I'm talking about. I'm talking about, the Bible says, lust when it hath what? Conceived. What does it do? It gives birth to sin. Amen. Brother, you got to be careful. That battleground right here is where you stop it. Just because you see something doesn't mean you have to think about it. Just because you see something doesn't mean you have to look at it. Can I tell you that it is not a sin to be tempted, but it is a sin when you take a second look? It is a sin when you think about it. Amen? Brother, you're not going to be able to stop a dirty thought from coming into your mind. But brother, if you sit there and you think about it and you dwell upon it, that is wrong. That is sinful. Brother, listen, sometimes you're going to drive down the road, you're going to see a billboard, you're going to go through a grocery store, you're going to see a magazine. But just because you see it does not mean you have to look at it. It is a sin when you look. What did the Bible say about David? The Bible said David walked out on the roof, saw a woman washing herself. He saw her, hadn't sinned yet. He should have turned right back around and said, oh God, forgive me, help me. But what did he do? And the woman was very beautiful to what? Look upon. David messed up his life when he chose to look and chose to think. Amen. Brother, you better close the doors. You better close the doors. Brother, listen, there are many ways the devil likes to enter into a person's life. Brother, the devil can enter in through the wrong kind of movies, wrong kind of whatever. Brother, we go on and on. We talk about video games today. Amen. I'm not against playing video games. I like playing them every once in a while. Me and my brother, we'll get together and we'll play football or golf or something like that, have a good time. But what happens is man, we've got a generation of games today that most parents can't even comprehend. I mean, when they think of video games, they're still thinking of Pac-Man, okay? And Frogger, and Pong, amen? I remember Pong. Okay, now we know who's old in here, amen? Pong. But now you've got games that, brother, have full, explicit sexual content in them. Graphic language, graphic violence. And parents are going down to the store and helping their kids buy this stuff. That's called naive. And you're letting that into your child's life. Now, let me tell you why a video game is more dangerous than a movie. Because a video game is interactive. In video games, you become that person. It's first person. It's role playing. Okay? It's much more interactive than movies. I'm just saying, listen, parents, we got to be careful. We got to be aware of what's going on in our home. And by the way, you're still the parent. You have the right to say no.
That's right.
You say, I got to respect my kids' privacy. Hey, no, you don't. You say, well, my son, he goes in his room, puts a do not disturb sign on his door. Hey, that ain't his room. That's your room. You pay the bills. You feed that little snotty-nosed brat. Brother, you go take down that do not disturb sign and say, hey, son, this is my room. This is my house. Amen. Brother, we got parents trying to be buddies and not parents.
That's right.
Come on now. Don't get quiet on me, brother. I'll preach 3 hours, man, on this. We got to be careful. We let things in. People get into horoscopes, Ouija boards, all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, brother, you got to guard the gates, man. I'm amazed. I was at Walmart the other day, and they were selling Ouija boards at Walmart in the by the kids' toys. Brother, listen, we got to be careful of the occult practices we let in our homes. I think we'd be surprised today how many Christians check on their horoscope. Amen?
Right.
They check it on their cell phone. They check it in the newspaper. They check it on the internet all the time. Friend, get away from that stuff. It's satanic, okay?
That's right.
It's satanic. Got Christians going to psychics and all that kind of stuff. Be careful. You're going to allow things into your life that you don't want to be there. You've got to close the doors. You know what happened to the maniac of Gadara? The maniac of Gadara had a lot of things that got into his life that controlled him. But what happened whenever he met Jesus? Jesus not only helped him get the sin out and helped him get the problems out of his life, but Jesus actually put him for a first time in his life on track to where all that wouldn't come back again. Okay? Now, when you get a sin out of your life, you close the door. You close the door. Because the Bible says it's very dangerous, brother, when something goes out, an evil thing goes out of a person's life, what happens? That evil spirit wants to come back looking for a place, and it comes back and finds that house swept and garnished and clean. But listen, be careful. You start getting sin out of your life, you close the doors. Say, hey, listen, I'm going to give up music. Well, you know what you need to do? Don't just decide to give up the wrong kind of music. Go to your house and throw away all the CDs and all that kind of stuff so you don't get back into it again. Amen. I'm going to give up cigarettes. How do I do it? Go throw away your cigarettes. Amen. Stay away from the crowd that smokes. Stay away from the places that allow smoking. Amen. Close the doors. Close the doors. Amen. We got to guard our mind. It is the battlefield. And you know what I found out? That habits are easy to get rid of when they're young and when they're small. But they are hard to uproot when we allow them in there for years and years and years and years. God can do it, but you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to walk in the Spirit. You're going to have to get with God and say, God, help me protect my mind. Help me to protect my thoughts. Amen. God will help you. That Holy Spirit will help you. He's your helper. You can overcome anything. But brother, you're going to have to guard that mind. Amen. Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've taught us from the Word of God today. Lord, I pray that it be a help and a blessing. And Lord, we're just one sin away, Lord, from wrecking our home or our testimony or anything like that. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, help us to guard the gates. Lord, help us close some doors this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.